Good morning, Emmanuel. We worship here today as part of the Old Town Partnership of Churches and also with Highworth, who also meeting to get today, and Helen Marson is up there today to bring our blessings. If we have any visitors, please make yourself known to us. There will be tea and coffee after the service, so do please come and join us for further fellowship. For those of you listening at home, the service is being led by Robert and Jeff is playing the organ. Our reader this morning is Pam Weston. And it is good to see you back, Jeff. I would like to highlight two issues in the weekly news. First, next week is the closing date for nominations for elders. Nomination forms and a list of those eligible for nominations are at the back of the church. Please do fill one in and maybe nominate people who have not served as an elder for some time, if ever. Indeed, if you feel you could serve, put your own name down. Too often it is the people who are already doing so much in the church who are being asked to take on more. Secondly, we have our big brew at this month's Tea and Chat, this Tuesday at 2:30 p.m. Please do come and support this event, which is raising money for Transform Trades Project of supporting women in Bangladesh who are setting up a shop in their local community. If you want to bring cakes, I'm sure they will be very welcome too. I will now light the Christ candle and the peace candle, and we will have a moment of quietness to prepare our thoughts for worship.
Good morning and welcome to our service this morning. It's good to see you. I just want to know who, while I was away, has put a clock on the pulpit, and if there's a message, could you tell me face to face and not leave subtle hints that I'll ignore it until I know who has put it. Let's hope it's for another church that meets here. Yeah, you laugh. You won't laugh when I finish this morning. It's good to be together. It's good to celebrate together. It's good to pray and sing together. And the psalm for this morning is something I think we can all identify with at one point or another in life. The people cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. The Lord brought them out of darkness and gloom and broke their bonds asunder. This will be explained during the service. I mean, it's not for you to go and jump over the cliff now at this moment. It is a Sunday of hope. And let us sing. Our first hymn today from Rejoice and Sing is hymn 41, For the Beauty of the Earth.
For the beauty of the earth, Lord, I beauty of the skies, Lord, the glory of the Lord, gracious God, to thee we rise.
Be seated. How many, this is going to be an interactive moment. How many of you here today have only ever been members of Emmanuel United Reformed Church or its name before that? Okay, there we are. Thank you. How many of you have come from at least one other church before Emmanuel? 2 churches before Emmanuel? More than 2 churches before Emmanuel. Good. Thank you. So we are, in that sense, a diverse group of people. Not because we have been to different churches, because if you have been to different churches, it means to say quite probably that you were living elsewhere, that you moved here. Whatever the reason, that has molded you as well as being part of Emmanuel. Interesting, as a minister, this is the fourth church, 1, 2, 3, the fourth church to which I have been a member. 5th if you count the year I was in Scotland, but that was just only 1 year. Because Mothering Sunday, not Mother's Day, but Mothering Sunday, always the fourth Sunday in Lent, has now been called Mother's Day. Try and find a card for Mothering Sunday. You'll go mad. I don't think you will unless you make it yourself. And that Mother's Day has had the US of A influence in it and the commercial influence in it. Traditionally, it was the day, and listen to this, you probably know the story, when children, mainly daughters, who were servants at one big house or another, were allowed to go home. One Sunday a year, you went home to most probably the village where you'd been born, most probably where mother still lived, but also where the church in which you had been baptized was located. And so Mothering Sunday is really the mother church rather than the biological mother. So, if you've been to more than 2, 3 churches, your mothering identity has been contributed by different groups of people everywhere. Because we are who we are, very often for the people that have influenced us. And that is for good or bad. I mean, those people that have ruined our life and we've said, I don't want to look anything like them, but you haven't forgotten them because you don't want to be like them. Or those who said, if I could only be more like so-and-so because they were loving, they were kind, whatever. They've all been part of our identity of who we are. I've often said this. If it had not been for Emmanuel and Highworth, probably my role as minister would have finished when my calling at the other church in Argentina came to an end. That was an unhappy ending. Not one that I want to remember as the best. Though, I must admit, there are people that I still feel very close to, but as an overall experience, wasn't the happiest one. It taught me lots of things. Then, coming to Emmanuel and Highworth, let's put it this way, I was healed from that. And this is what I want to say. Mothering Sunday is not only Mother's Day, but it's who we are as people ourselves, those that have influenced us. And if we can regain that, we have a contribution to the generations that come, those that come after us, that they may find a place where they aren't molded to be what others want them to be, but find a place where they can be who God has made them to be in the fullness of life. And that, in a way, is what we celebrate. Mother's Day has become another name for Mothering Sunday here, but it's basically a commercial celebration, very commercial celebration. But it continues to be in Lent for us. Mother's Day in South America is in October. But I don't know why. We do share Father's Day in June, both Northern and Southern Hemisphere. But Mothering stroke Mother's Day is different. So let us feed on this, continue to grow, continue to develop. And those of you who read fresh from the Word, I don't know if this week you've been following it, but it's been taking the story of the rebuilding of Jerusalem from the book of Nehemiah. Some of the readings are very long. Thank goodness last Thursday or Friday they skipped the long list of so-and-so, how many members they were. But go back to that story and see how they are talking about this is our identity. This is who we are. That's why the building, together as a family, of the temple and of the walls of the city was so important. And that's why Nehemiah goes down in history, because something was done. So this is half my reflection for this morning. The other half will come in a few moments. But let's celebrate our belonging to a community which allows us to be, in the best of circumstances, those people that God wants us to be. Amen. Let us pray. And we end the prayer with the Lord's Prayer all together. We come this day, and as you've seen just now, dear God, and we know, the walks of life of many of us here have come from different parts and different stories, and yet you meet us here, and we meet you here. We thank you for those that have come before us, those that have helped us understand who we are, what life really means, and what we can do. Those that have told us the stories that remain with us. Those that have spoken of your love, even in the times of darkness or of gloom or of difficulties, reminding us that there is somebody, there is you, who we can hold on to, that will get us through the darkness. You never promised the darkness wouldn't exist. You never said that there wouldn't be rivers to cross. You never said that there wouldn't be difficulties that we would face, the snakes of the story, but that you would be with us even in the midst of that. We thank you for all that nurtures us. And Lord, help us pass this story on to others, to share what life can truly be, to be able to overcome that seems insurmountable. Grant us your peace. And thank you for all that reminds us of love, of kindness, of hope, all that makes joy shine and hope be true. And forgive us. Forgive us not for despairing, but for not turning to you in despair. Forgive us not necessarily for the grumbling, but for grumbling alone against everything, even you. Forgive us, dear God, if we get caught up in those moments in life which seem impossible. Speak to us, because you call us by our name. And when we hear who we are, through you, the direction of life is changed. We come to you. We are part of the family of your children everywhere. Help us to love and be loved, to forgive and be forgiven, to look and find what you are doing this day and always. And we say together as the family of God's children, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We will now share that which we have been able to set apart for the offering. to you, O Lord, the gifts of who we are and what we have. Bless our life that it may be an offering to you. And what is in the offering plate today, or what we give in different ways, bless those who decide how it is best used, that in every way we and this may be used to glorify your name and bring people to know more of you. Amen. And we share the words of the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all evermore. Amen. The choir will now sing the anthem, O Be Joyful in the Lord. Now lead us in the readings for this morning.
The New Testament reading is from John chapter 3, verses 11 to 22, and it's on page 90. Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen. Yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and the people love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God. After this, Jesus and his disciples went into the Judean countryside, and he spent some time there with them and baptized. The Old Testament reading is from Numbers chapter 21, verses 4 to 9, and on page 145. From Mount Hor they set out by the way to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. But the people became impatient on the way. The people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we detest this miserable food. Then the Lord sent poisonous serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned by speaking against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord to take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, "Make a poisonous serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten shall look at it and live." So Moses made a serpent of bronze and put it upon a pole. And whenever a serpent bit someone, that person would look at the serpent of bronze and live. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Pam, so much for not only reading, but guiding us in the reading. Let us now sing hymn 600, "Christ is the World's Light, He and None Other." Please be seated. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts, Lord, be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Crying out to the Lord in trouble, and the Lord saved them from their distress, brought them out of darkness and gloom, and broke the bonds asunder. That was the psalm with which we began the service. And you've just heard two readings, probably John better known than the one from Leviticus, but we must remember the story of the serpent, the bronze serpent, from one Sunday school class or another at one time. Interesting thing in John chapter 3 is it begins with the story of Nicodemus, which doesn't appear in the reading today. Don't worry, you didn't doze off at that time. Nicodemus is that guy that comes to Jesus in the middle of the night. He doesn't want to be seen. He's an influential man in society, but he has questions. And he comes to Jesus with those questions. And he doesn't understand the answers. But then Nicodemus is going to appear once again towards the end of the Gospel of John. He's going to come bringing the spices after the crucifixion for the burial of Jesus. This time, coming out quite openly, quite in the daylight. He is not ashamed to be identified any longer as being a follower, if not necessarily a full believer, but a follower. And that's an absolutely fantastic story, because nowhere would it say, but in the Bible that is reminding us how God gives us the time we need. From chapter 3 to chapter 19, we know nothing about Nicodemus except for the fact that he came afraid in the dark until he was able to come out into the open. And if that's our story in one way or another, if it is how we've been led in life, how our nurturing churches of the past or the present have helped us to develop, there is a wonderful story in just that incident alone. A God who was willing to give us time. And thank the Lord for that. Where would we be if God had not given us time to be who we are, to develop, to grow, to learn, to correct mistakes, to be better people? The reading from John does have the famous John 3:16. There are many churches that are just called the Church of John 3:16, as if a passerby would say, oh, this is the church I've been looking for, because that's the answer to my question. They probably wouldn't know how to get there. The problem with John 3:16 is that they forget John 3:17, which is, God did not send his Son to condemn the world, but to save the world. And we live in a world where so many people like condemning the world, like pointing fingers and saying, if you keep like this, if you keep doing this, you are doomed. Has God said that? Or is it just somebody who feels that they have the authority? The passage really speaks of the God of love, who offers light and comfort and sees life as a continuation, as a journey, where we're allowed to grow. At what moment of life would somebody point it to any of us and said, you're condemned? At the beginning, at the end, in the middle? If they'd done that to Nicodemus the night of the reading of today, or in John 19, would it have been the same judgment? God doesn't do that. The reading from Numbers, a fantastic story, a journey through the desert, and the people are fed up. I don't know if you picked that up. They're quite sort of enraged, and they use some quite strong language. They feel despair. They're afraid of dying of hunger or thirst because, quote unquote, we detest the food you're giving us. That is the manna from heaven. We're sick and tired of eating every single day the same thing. I remember when I was a kid, for my birthday, there was always one special dish. And even if we went out for a restaurant, that's what I'd ask for. And I wanted it every day of the year. Now, looking back, I said, thank goodness that didn't happen. To have what you really like every day of the year would probably turn it into what you detest every day of the year. But there was survival here. And they start moaning and they start complaining. The biblical author sees this as rebellion. I'm going to teach you a lesson, he says. And then the serpents. I mean, what do you expect? You're walking through desert. I mean, serpents adore living in deserts. They have it all to themselves. Who would venture out into a desert and not expect a serpent to be there? It's their kingdom, let's put it that way. But don't forget that in the Bible, the serpent also represents the confusing one. The one that says, it wasn't really like that. Remember Adam and Eve? He didn't really mean that sort of thing. So the serpents in this story appear. And they do what serpents do. Hey, you're invading my space. Get out of here. And if you don't get out of here, I'm going to bite you. And if I bite you, you are not going to forget about this. I was thinking of what people comment on Australia, the collection, a big country, and the collection of the most deadly animals in the world on one island. Maybe a continent in itself, but be careful. And Sue nods, so she's probably seen or heard or been warned about these sort of things. But it's that sort of reality. The people are exhausted. Have you ever got grumbly because you're tired or exhausted? I look at you and I say, you are grumbly people. None of you would ever grumble. None of you would ever. Have you ever heard of a child saying, 10 minutes after a 6-hour journey, saying, are we nearly there? Are we nearly there? Come on, you must have said that. And if you're laughing, it's because you can remember having said it yourself. They're in the desert. There are snakes. That's not surprising. It's hot. It's not surprising. None of the story is surprising. But what does God say? Make a serpent of bronze, put it up on a pole, and whoever is threatened by a serpent can look up there and will be saved. The same instrument that is the cause of downfall becomes the instrument of healing. And then John takes this and Jesus speaks about it. He will be lifted up as the serpent in the desert was lifted up. And whoever looks at he who was lifted up. And that's our journey of Lent. We aren't the same people I hope that we were last year. We aren't the same people we will be next year. I hope we develop and grow. But Jesus is the source of our hope and love. Hope in despair. That which was wrong, the serpent is turned into a lifeless sculpture, but one that will bring fullness of life. Jesus, the one who is alive and people want to get rid of, will become the source of hope and fullness of life in all its forms. The code, the key to enter the readings today, even if they become complicated, even if you say it's a bit too much, is that in the midst of despair, there is hope. In the midst of despair, God is there. He's not a stranger, he's not a foreigner, he's not looking from the other side of the road. He is there. And in the cup and the bread today, we will be holding it and be reminded, this is the light, this is the hope. Not because it is light, but it shines, it reminds us of the light and life. Life has a meaning, even when we think it doesn't. Even when we are despairing, somebody is there tapping our shoulder, saying, look up, I'm here with you. Not far away, with you. This is the message that God has for us today. And that's how we grow. Amen. God, rich in mercy, whose light reveals the truth of things, the judgments we bring on ourselves, we thank you that you sent your Son to save and not condemn. In his self-giving love, may life abundant reign through Jesus Christ, who was lifted up for us. Amen. Hymn 625, God of Freedom, God of Justice. Please be seated. We join together in prayers for others, our prayers of intercession, with a time of silence for us to bring to God that which is deep in our hearts. Let us pray. God of new opportunities, God of healing, God of hope, in Jesus' cross you have shown us your desire of wholeness of life for all. We thank you for your loving heart and bring before you brokenness in our lives and the world. We pray for illness experienced in body, mind, or spirit, and for all who care. We pray for systems and processes from national laws to local decision making which deny justice or equity. We pray for relationships which are fractured and distorted, preventing love and joy. We pray for the brokenness of the health of earth. And in this moment of silence, Lord, we offer to you all that which is broken, sealing the healing work of your Spirit. Holy One, in Jesus' cross you have shown us not only your desire for healing, but your way of healing. Grant us the courage to follow your way and work with your Spirit to bring healing for all. God of justice, in Jesus' cross you have shown us the power of human destructiveness. This Lent, in this journey of life as individual disciples and together as the community of faith, part of the partnership of churches, part of the family of faith in the whole world, allow us to turn away from fear and follow your ways of love. To turn away from the ways of the empire and live by the ways of your kingdom. To turn away from the drives of our egos and pride, and be fueled by your desire and seeking to glorify you. God of hope, in Jesus' cross, you have shown us the indestructible power of your love, your hope, and your presence. We seek to trust you and follow your way. May the way of your cross shape our daily lives, the lives of your church and all faith communities. We pray for Emmanuel at this time, and in the process of the election of new elders, some people will be asked, Lord, may those who feel even in fear that their name may come up, think if it can't happen this time. For those who have never thought of it, that they may be able to think of it. That those who have served long may have the right to rest. For the activities of this week, tea and chat on Tuesday, a Passiontide service next Sunday, for the activities in Christchurch and St. Mary's and Bath Road, on that journey of Lent towards Easter, for the world in which we live. May the way of your cross shape the minds and actions of our politicians and the leaders of industry and commerce. May the way of your cross shape the minds and actions of those that teach and cure and care. To you we claim. To you we bring those who are deep on our heart that need to know that we are praying for them. Listen to this silence. God of healing, God of justice, God of hope, to you we bring ourselves and our prayers. God of the cross, of the lifted snake, of the lifted Jesus, we look in hope. We trust your promise. Amen. We prepare for communion, singing hymn 463. Though it talks about rising from the table, we get ready to sit and receive. Here is the table of the Lord. We are gathered to this supper, a foretaste of things eternal. So come, when you are faith if fearful, to be made new in love. Come, even if you have doubts, to be made strong in faith. Come with all your regrets and be made whole and trusting. Come, you who are young, you who are old, you who feel that time is weighing more than ever, you that feel the joy and the hope of what comes, there is room for each of us and all of us. God loves us and wants to share this moment with us. Amen. On the night that Jesus met with his disciples because he had already been betrayed, they ate together. And then Jesus took the bread and the cup and he gave thanks. Let us pray. O Lord, we thank you for the bread and the cup that's on this table. They are a reminder of the simple and common things of life which you chose to be a living and everlasting memorial to do this in your name. We pray, O Lord, that as we share today, we may be fed, our faith may be restored if necessary, healed if necessary, affirmed when necessary, to believe, to trust we aren't alone, and that you are working still today for the fullness of life of all your people everywhere. We do this. Here we are. We have come with who we are and what we have in a world that is being violented, hated, and yet there is hope and there is love. Amen. And after praying, he took the bread and he broke it. And he gave to the disciples, reminding them that they could eat. And in eating, they were invited to remember. So receive, we hold the bread until we can all eat together.
Thank you.
This is the broken bread for the wholeness of our life. Eat in memory of him. the broken bread for the healing of creation. Eat in memory of him. And after they'd eaten, they took the cup. And he said to them, this cup is new. It's a new relationship. It's a new covenant for the forgiveness of sins. Drink in memory of him. So we receive the cup and hold the cup until all have received. We hold the cup and we drink from the cup. Let us remember him. The angel said these words to the frightened shepherds, and Jesus said this to the frightened followers. And now the words which come from heaven are shared to make us whole and make us one. Peace be with you. Amen. Now is the moment that in the service, before we sing the last hymn, you will receive. Not the cup and the bread, you have received that already. We need a few volunteers, and I'm not looking at anybody in particular, but my prayers have been answered. There we are. You will receive a bunch of flowers, which is the custom for this Sunday. Please, one per person, if you think if there are flowers left over, they will be in the chapel after the service. And if you think of somebody you would like to take a bunch afterwards, please wait until the end of the service, until everybody has received. So now, receive gracefully these beautiful flowers. Yes? Let's hope they remember you all sitting here. But Thank you. And that the service hasn't finished yet, eh? 95, we sing our last hymn, God is love, let heaven adore him, and then we will hear the blessing, and then you're invited for tea and coffee. And the time with everything we've done this morning isn't too bad. The tyrant is looking at me from down here. There it is.
abundance. You have fed us with the bread of life and the cup of salvation.
We have received the flowers that as our lives need time to develop and bloom in all fullness. You have united us with Christ and one another, and you have made us one with all your people of all time and all places. Now send us from this place in the power of your Spirit, that we may proclaim your renewing love to the world and continue forever in the risen life of Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Go in peace. Amen.